I'm sure you've all heard the expression, I'm starving. Maybe some of you teenagers, that's what you do, or you children here. I'm sure you've said that to maybe mum or dad. I'm starving. Have you got something to eat? Now, whether you're actually starving or not is another matter. Parents, we no doubt we've heard that many times. But usually we are kind of, you know, it happens after we've been working, we've been playing, we've been enjoying ourselves, and we come inside and we realize how hungry we really are. We come inside and say, I'm starving. And then eventually maybe we'll sit at the table, we'll eat our food, and we finally feel satisfied. The interesting thing is, we've just eaten, we're satisfied, and tomorrow morning, if you're a parent, you'll probably hear the very same words, I'm starving. And the next day, and the next day, it comes day after day. And even if we don't say I'm starving, we're hungry every day. We want to have food to eat every day. And every day we need to fill ourselves again. In many ways, what Jesus is doing here in this parable, which we'll look at as we go through this sermon, what Jesus is doing is he's calling people and he's saying to them, look, stop working so hard for those things which never fully satisfy. And find the greatest thing that's going to fill you, that's going to endure in you, and that is me. So that's what we want to look at as we look at this passage this morning, how Jesus calls people to find enduring fulfillment in him. As I mentioned, next week we'll look some more at that, but this week we want to just mainly look at that feeding of the 5,000 itself and a little bit about Jesus walking on the water. So I've 3 points. You may note them in the bulletin, or if you have one of the outlines, you'll see them there as well. Firstly, we have the need for bread, the futility of bread, and then finally the real bread. So the need for bread, firstly. The crowd needs bread. The context, of course, is Jesus has gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, children, is a small lake, you might say. It was called a sea, but it is really a lake, where there was a lot of fishing going on the west of the lake. There was the what was Jewish territory on the right, or on the east side, of course, was more Gentile kind of area. It's the area we now know as the Golan Heights. But it's kind of, so he went across the lake and he was there. And the idea there, of course, was that Jesus went away to rest for a while with his disciples. And we know that from the other accounts about this feeding of the 5,000. Jesus wants to go away, spend some time with his disciples, which we kind of get a taste of here in verse 3. Jesus went on the mountain, there he sat down with his disciples. He wants to teach them. He wants to show them the things that he wants to teach them. These disciples, you know, are his closest followers. He wants to impart to them everything that he can in those 3 years that he's here. But as seems normal, if I may say that, in Jesus' ministry, the crowds kind of figure out where he is. Don't ask me how they knew, but from the other accounts, we know that they walked kind of around the top of the lake and found Jesus and his disciples there. Which, this is a little bit of an aside, but I was thinking about this morning. If you want to be around Jesus, if you want to hang around Jesus, you've got to expect lots of other people there as well. Which you might say, well, of course, that's what happened when Jesus was, you know, the crowds were following him everywhere. But it's true, isn't it? If we are children of God, if we want to be with Jesus, we've got to expect the Pharisees there, we've got to expect the disciples there, we've got to expect the prostitutes there, we've got to expect all kinds of people, the crowds who just basically come to Jesus for the signs, as we read. And it reminds us, doesn't it, in the life of the church, a life with God isn't merely a life of following Jesus, isn't merely a life of just following Jesus, me and Jesus. It's a life within the life, within the church. And a lot of the people in the church, we might not get on with that well. But we need one another. At very least, we're going to be rubbing shoulders with one another. Again, as I mentioned, that's an aside. But that's what we see all the time as Jesus walks around. Crowds are following him. And so it is in our Christian life. We're in this together. We're in this together. Now, so Jesus on the other side, all these people come to him, and Jesus wants to care for them. He has compassion on them. He wants to provide for them. And he realized they need something to eat. They've been with him for quite some time. Again, some of the other accounts mention that it was getting towards evening. And so Jesus says to his disciples, well, you know, how about we give them something to eat? And notice Jesus says to Philip here, testing him, of course. We read that in verse 6. This was to test him. So this is a test for Philip. Philip, where are we going to find bread for these people to eat? Now, we know it was a desolate place. Again, from the other accounts. It was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which wasn't really that well populated. It was a desolate place. He was up on the mountain. He was, you know, spending time with his disciples, obviously in a bit of an isolated spot, so he could spend his time with his disciples. No towns, no villages around, probably. There were some, but you had to walk a ways. And so Jesus says, where, Philip, where are we going to find something to eat? You know, look around. There's no town here. There's no bakery. There's no Woolworths Countdown or Pack and Save. Philip's got another problem. Not just where, but how on earth are we going to afford it? 200 denarii isn't going to be enough for all these people, to buy some food for all these people. Now, denarii, children, you might know, maybe you'll notice, but a denarii is like one day's wages. So 200 denarii, that's, you know, well over half a year's wages. Half a year's worth of money. Even if we had that kind of money, Jesus, we're just not going to be able to feed these people even a little bit. We read later on, later on in verse 10, we read that there was at least 5,000 men, assuming wives were there as well, assuming some children might have been there as well. Commentators say, you know, there could have been up to 10 to 15,000 people. Maybe not. Maybe even if it was less. But there's thousands of people there. You can imagine the kind of crowd that was there. And so Jesus really is testing Philip, isn't he? And Philip looks around and he thinks, wow, how on earth are we going to feed these people? There's just no way. Andrew, verse 8, says, well, here's a little boy who's got a bit of a lunch. Because that's basically what it was. It was these five loaves and two fish. The loaves themselves, again, if you read the commentators and the people that talk about these things, they're barley loaves, and they said, well, they were really small, and the fish would have been small as well. But whether they were small or not, it really doesn't matter. I suppose the emphasis is, here's this little lunch, there's just a little bit of food here. How on earth are we going to feed these people? It's impossible. It's impossible. And Jesus had said this to test them, right? And I suppose you could say they both failed the test. Now, of course, it's very easy for you and me to throw stones. We know the end of the story. We know Jesus kind of just, you know, handed out the bread. But they had no idea. They had no idea. They're in a desolate place. There's no way. There's not much to eat. These people are hungry. If we've got nothing for them, who is going to meet the needs of these people? Children, who's going to meet the needs of all these people? Philip, is he going to do it? Is Andrew going to do it? Is this little boy with his five loaves and two fish going to do it? No, only Jesus, right? Only Jesus can fill this need. And that's what he does. We look at that secondly in the inadequacy of bread, but firstly we see there that Jesus is the one who provided. He starts breaking the bread. He starts giving bread to the disciples, and the disciples go around and they go and give everybody the bread that they need. Because when Jesus takes charge, you see, what seems hopeless suddenly is quite different. What at first seems like nothing can happen, suddenly it happens. We've seen it again and again in the book of John. The wine has run out. And suddenly there's wine. The child is about to die. And Jesus heals him a man, he's laying paralyzed by the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. What a hopeless situation that is. And suddenly, Jesus comes. When Jesus turns up, you might say, when Jesus turns up, things change. Suddenly, it's the tables are turned, as it were. Even this story about Jesus walking on the water. Now, that's a whole sermon in itself, maybe, but it's kind of sandwiched in here into this passage, and so we need to think about it in the light of this feeding of the 5,000, and in the light of who Jesus is. Because here, you know, it's dark, right? It's the night, and it's rough. When verse 18, the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and they were rowing 3 or 4 miles. And then they see Jesus walking on the water. Well, they don't know that's Jesus, but they see him walking on the water, and they're scared, they're afraid. And he says to them, it's I. And what did the disciples say? Well, if it's Jesus, we want him. Right? And so they welcome him into the boat. They were glad to take him into the boat. And what happens as soon as he comes into the boat? What happens? Immediately the boat was on the land to where they were going. When Jesus is around, that which is hopeless is suddenly not so hopeless anymore. Because for all the people, going back to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, all these hungry people, not only did they have, you know, a few mouthfuls to eat, they had plenty to eat. When they had their fill, when they'd eaten their fill, in verse 12, did you see that? They'd eaten their fill, they'd filled themselves up with this 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 little loaves, remember? 2 little fish. 5,000 men, excluding all the women and children. And not just enough to eat, but then the disciples go and they gather up 12 baskets of leftovers. Again, there's all kinds of discussion as to what these baskets were, but the point is there's 12 of them, and the point is there's heaps of it. Heaps left over. There's an abundance. And suddenly the things start to tick, as it were, start to fall into place for the people, for the crowd. They start to put 2 and 2 together and they get 4. Some very interesting comments in this passage. I don't know if you noticed it, in verse 4, if you just go back to verse 4. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. You might say, what was that there for? I mean, so what? The Passover. Maybe just trying to tell that the time of the year. Well, it could be that. But remember what happened at the Passover. Children, you might know. Remember the people of Israel were in the land of Egypt, right? This was the last plague. And all the firstborn in Egypt were killed, except for those who painted the blood over the doorposts. And what happened at that last plague, Pharaoh sent all the Israelites out. Go worship to your God. Go, leave. And so they left, and they're wandering around in the desert. I've just been reading through the book of Exodus. You know, they came through the Red Sea. Remember that? What an incredible miracle. They came through the Red Sea. They're 3 days into desert, past the Red Sea, and they start to grumble. We haven't got any water. We've got no bread. We've got no meat. It was better back in Egypt. But what did God do? Every day he gave them manna, bread to eat. And the people, they mention that later on, don't they? When they see Jesus in Capernaum, they say, well, you know, Moses, I mean, our fathers wandered through the desert. They got bread. And here we are, as it were. I mean, they don't say that, but here we are. We look around, this is a desolate place, and we've got somebody giving us bread. We've got plenty. And they think of Moses, and they remember that Moses had said, there's going to become this great prophet after me. And so they say there in verse 14, this has got to be the prophet that Moses mentioned. And what do they do with that? Well, I mean, let's make him king. I mean, we need a government that's going to look after us, right? I mean, what could be better? it was pretty easy for Jesus, just kind of, you know, handed out some food and we got food to eat. We didn't have to do much for it. It's a win-win situation, surely. We can make him king. We've got enough to eat. We can live a comfortable, happy life. All the basic necessities of life can be given to us. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't that just what we need? Jesus here is an eternal vending machine. You know, we might have to line up. We might even have to pay a little bit, but we can just get out of him whatever we need. And we need bread every day. Wouldn't it be great if he could just provide for us like that every day? Let's make him king. Surely he'll want to be king, and then he can provide for us. But that's not what Jesus is about. Because Jesus sees the bigger problem, you see. He says that later on in verse 27. Don't work for food that perishes. I fed you yesterday in that desolate place. Now you've come across the sea, you found me in Capernaum, and you need more. That bread wasn't enough. You need more today. And tomorrow you'll need more. And the day after you'll need more. Because this bread that I've given you, it doesn't last. What you need is something that will last. Something that will continue on, as Jesus says, into eternity. The food that endures for eternal life. The bread I gave you was not enough. Well, it was enough for that day, but you needed it again tomorrow. Well, today and then tomorrow again. And you see, Jesus is saying in many ways, that's the problem with earthly blessings. Because the bread was a blessing from God, right? Jesus had given it to them, just like the manna was in the wilderness. Jesus gave it to them again and again. It was wonderful, and it's a wonderful blessing. But you have to keep coming back for more and more and more. And we find that true in life, don't we? In many ways, well, life can be hard sometimes. We have difficulties. And we long for things that God would give to us. Maybe I'm not married. I'd love to be married. Or I don't own a house. I'd love to own a house. Or my body's not as it should be. Or I need a decent holiday. We look for things. We look for things here to satisfy us. Health, money, fame, sex, a better job, more to eat, a secure future. And we chase after those things because we think if we only have those, then it will be better. Then life will be good. Then it will be an oasis. Then things will go wonderfully for us. It'll be better once I have all these things. Now, each of these things, there's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, in their right place, within the boundaries God has given. But the problem is, they never last. Again, it's like that Samaritan woman, remember her? She'd looked for love in all the wrong places, but it happened again and again and again, and she never found it because it never satisfied, because it never lasts. Our holiday was great. I'm back at work for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and I need another one. The money's wonderful, but eventually it'll run out. Eventually my job will be replaced by another. What we end up doing and what Jesus is saying to these people, you're looking for things to satisfy you. But they were never meant to, because all they do is run out. Even the blessings from God, which they all are, they run out because they're created things and they were never meant to last and they were never meant to give us those eternal securities. Yes, the bread was good. It was wonderful. But Jesus says you need something better. You need something eternal. And that is finally the one who has given them the bread. Finally, thirdly, the one who gives bread. In other words, he's saying, don't hang on to what I give to you. Hang on to me, the one who gives it to you. Don't hang on to the blessings. hang on to the one who gives the blessings. Now, to see that, I just want to ask and just want to think about, why did Jesus do these miracles? The answer to that question is almost the same as why did Jesus give parables? Remember Jesus spoke parables? And these parables were there. Sometimes we say, well, Jesus gave parables because Jesus knows we need stories to help us understand. But Jesus doesn't say that. Because Jesus said, I'm teaching you parables so that they will not hear, so that they will not understand. That's what he said. So that they won't get the point. Unless the Spirit gives illumination, unless you understand by the work of the Spirit, you won't get the point. And so it was with the miracles. And that's what happened to these people. They saw the miracle and they saw, you know what? We need to make him king so that we can have food every day. He's just like Moses. He can give us bread. We never have to worry about where our next meal is coming from. And they missed the point entirely because it was a sign to show who Jesus was. Jesus says in verse 32, Moses didn't give you bread. My Father did. And he'd already said, I and my Father are one. I have given this to you. Do you realize who I am? Verse 27, he says, I am the Son of Man. You're looking to me to give temporal things. That's your focus. And of course God gives temporal needs. God gave manna in the wilderness. I gave you this food to eat. But I want you to go deeper. Don't focus your life on these things. Yes, they are blessings to be enjoyed. They are blessings to be acknowledged that God has given them to us. Yes, you are called to go and earn money, to make a living, to put a roof over your heads, to buy food. But Jesus says what you really need above all these things is me. Again, remember chapter 3 of John. Nicodemus said, you know, if I'm going to get the kingdom of God, I need more religion. I need to work hard at pleasing God. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you don't need that. You need me. The Samaritan woman, as I already mentioned, you know, she wanted satisfaction in life and love and security. And Jesus says, what you need is not love and not security. You need me. The bread that Jesus gave was there to point the people to the one who gave the bread. And so it is with us every day. All that he gives to us is merely there to point us to the one who gives it. He has given us everything we have. So don't work for bread that doesn't satisfy. At least not if you're working for it to find your satisfaction. Because that's what we do, don't we? We work and we work, and whether it's to get money or to increase our kingdoms, whatever those kingdoms might be, whatever it is, we work and we work to get more and more of this stuff. And Jesus says, don't work for that which does not satisfy. We started the service off with Isaiah chapter 55. Come to me. Come. Whoever thirsts, come to the waters. The one who has no money, come buy and eat. Why spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Or Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Find the one who gives you that which will never fade away. So a question comes to mind. How do we get it? How do we get that which doesn't fade away? Because that's what Jesus says to these people in verse 33 and 34, or 33 then. I can give you bread. The bread of God is that which comes down to heaven and gives life to the world. So the people say, well, give this to us. And Jesus says, I'm here. It's me. I'm the bread that gives life. How do we get that bread? Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, to get that bread, to get him, we believe in him. We believe that he is the only one who can not only bring us to God, but he's the only one that we need in this life for eternity. If we want eternal life, we need him. And to get him, we believe, we trust him completely. Not ourselves. Not getting there on our own steam. But we trust him completely. And Jesus says, as it were, to the people of his day, he says, Do you want me to prove, in a sense, do you want me to prove that all you need is me? Do you want me to prove who I am? And he shows them this incredible miracle of feeding 5,000 people with these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe there's somewhere else you can find eternal life. Maybe you can find it out there somewhere. Maybe you can find it in some of the things you do here. Well, if that's the case, you better go and do it. But as Jesus says, and as most of us know, you won't find it anywhere but in him. So look to him and trust him and grab hold of him. If you're a Christian this morning, I want to ask myself actually as well, why are we so unsteady in this world? Why are we going from one crisis to another? Why are we worried? Why are we anxious? Now, I know all the circumstances of life. Some of us go through life and it's tough. It's really hard. And yes, there are crises in our lives. But why are we worried? Why are we anxious? I think the problem is that we are looking, just like these people in Jesus' time, we're looking for bread that doesn't satisfy. We're looking for bread that doesn't last. We're chasing after things, whether it's comfort, maybe it's money in whatever form it takes, maybe it's relationships, and whatever form that takes. We're chasing after things that perish. And we're wanting those things. We're wanting them and because we think that that's where we'll find fulfillment. We're filling ourselves with them, but they never last. They never last. The euphoria of love, at least in this life, never really lasts. Not that euphoria anyway. That we thought we could earn and gain, well, it just seems to disappear into thin air. Or the desire for something, and we end up just wanting more and more and more. It just doesn't last. And so Jesus says, labor for that which lasts into eternity. Reprioritize your lives, love. Reprioritize your lives, because the food that you're chasing after in this world will not last. It can't. We come to Jesus Christ and we find him and we know him and we spend time with him and we dig down and know him and love him and serve him and give our lives to him and give our lives to one another. And then we start to realize that he gives us everything we need. I realize we'll still struggle with our sin. We'll still go through the ups and downs. But Jesus says, come to me. I am the bread of life. I will give you what we need. In him you'll find your greatest satisfaction. what he gives will not perish. It will not fade. It'll be hard. Think of the people of Israel as they walk through the desert. Again, as I say, I'm reading through the book of Exodus, and they're just out there, and they've just seen the sea parted. They've just seen all these mess and miracles in Egypt, and they've seen the sea parted. They come, and then God gives them water out of, you know, there's this sour or salty water. I can't remember what it was, but Moses throws a stick in it, and suddenly it's good water, and they drink, and then they're going a little bit further, and then they say, we are hungry. We're really hungry. Man, just why didn't you let us die in Egypt? At least in Egypt, we were sitting by the pots of food. You know, we had plenty to eat. Later on, as they're walking 40 years through the wilderness, they say, we had melons, we had vegetables, and all these things in Egypt. And here we have just some manna, the stuff that we don't even like. Sometimes our lives are like that. Even the Christian life is like that, right? We look at our lives and we look at the world and we think, man, and I left all that behind. They've got the melons, they've got the vegetables, they've got the good life, and here I am trudging my way through life. It's hard sometimes to forsake all those things. But God says, I am with you. I walk with you always. And in me, as you trust me every day for all that you need, you will find the greatest desires of your heart. And it will never fade away. It will go into all eternity. He's what we need, beloved. He's the focus. It's all about him. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are good. And we are so fickle. You know our hearts. We fill ourselves with the bread that never satisfies. Would you be merciful to us this morning again? Lord, would you give us the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you help us to see that indeed he always and only satisfies? And Lord, help us to turn our backs on all those things that we've worked for so hard and that never really satisfy. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've not left us in this world to chase after the stuff that doesn't endure. Our Father, if there are any here this morning or listening online who do not know this Savior, would you be gracious to them? Would you be merciful? And would you grant them to see this Savior, Jesus, who alone can give eternal life? And Lord, we just pray these things, not because we are worthy. We pray these things because we have a Savior. We pray these things because we are desperately in need of you to work in us and with us. Please hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.